this weekend I got the privilege of writing two messages. One was for my 33-year-old cousin who passed away in a car accident. So that was yesterday. And then I got the privilege of Father's Day. So I already have a bad memory, so trying to commit both messages to memory. You might see me looking down more than I should. But we're family, right? So I know you guys will forgive me. But I will ask you guys, my Aunt Donna, this is her second daughter in less than a couple years who lost two daughters. The first one in her 30s in a car accident, and now her youngest. So if you would, just keep that in your mind if you don't mind praying for her. She was already having a hard time still dealing with the loss of her first daughter to then get hit with the second one. So if emotions come up, bear with me. It's still in my mind, right? But as Pastor prayed most of my message, we're still in the middle of what has been called Pride Month, right? If you haven't seen the commercials or seen the social media posts, right, we're going through Pride Month, as they call it. And hidden in this month is this little day that we call Father's Day. And we joke about Father's Day, right? It's kind of like the small holiday, right? We kind of downplay Father's Day, and we kind of make it the joke. But it is a holiday nonetheless, right? So the reality is, church family, we should be making a big deal about men, right? We should be making a big deal about fathers who stay and stand and rise up to the call of fathers. And in our culture, we know that the best way to destroy the nucleus of the family is to remove men. And we see that in our culture. I did a quick study of just fathers. And you'll see behind me the first one is from Fathers in America in the 1800s. It says, fathers were to teach their children religious piety and doctrine while installing good habits and necessary knowledge to succeed in a mostly agrarian economy. You jump to 1993, fast forward to an article on Times, and it says, more children, 1993, more children will go to sleep tonight in fatherless homes than ever in our nation's history, Time declared in their cover story. This hit newsstands again on Father's Day in 1993, and behind me, you'll see the rest of that quote. They say, talk to the experts in crime, drug abuse, depression, school failure, and they can point to some study, some way, blaming those problems on the disappearance of fathers from the American family. But talk to the fathers who do stay in their homes with their families, and the story grows more complicated. What they're hearing from their bosses, from institutions, from cultures around them, and even from their own wives very often comes down to this devastating message. We don't really trust men to be parents, and we don't really need them to be. Jump to 2021, the American Psychology Association, they wrote, the modern day father comes in various forms. Today, fathers no longer always need to be the traditional married breadwinner, the disciplinarian in the family. He could be single or married, externally employed or stay at home, gay or straight, an adoptive or step parent, and more than capable caregiver to a children facing physical or psychological challenges. You know, studying these things, I believe that our biggest problem for fathers' roles is society keeps redefining what a father is, right? And this picture of father is keep being attacked and redefined. And here's the reality. A father's role is a pivotal one in his family. He's called to be the leader, the protector for his family, to give the example of Christ, loving them and showing their children how he loves their mother. He's to also be strong in the faith and bring his children up knowing right from wrong. Ephesians 25 through 37 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave up himself to make her holy. Cleanse her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it and care for their body just as Christ does for the church, for we are members of the body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The problem is church, is we've been too comfortable following society's definition of fathers, right? So we need to be reprogrammed. We let society dictate men, how you should act, how you should work. We even get the picture. You guys watch TV, right? You see the picture of, usually it's the dad who's kind of dumb, big kid. He's more of a child to the mom than he is a husband, right? And then we swing the pendulum the other way, and we got the workaholic dad, right? He's working hard. He's doing the overtime to provide everything but time for his family. And the question we should be asking ourselves, men, is what did God create for us to be? And ladies, if you're here today, the question you should be asking is, do I see in this man a picture of what I see in Scripture? And here's the truth. And I told Pastor this too. When I sat down to write this message, I did it as a father to my kids. First to my daughter. And again, this shouldn't surprise her because we talk about this. But as a father to his daughter, of what kind of man is acceptable based on Scripture for her to find? And for my son, is what kind of man should he be based on the pages of Scripture? So it wasn't easy, right? I had to sit down in front of God's Word as I'm studying this. I spent a lot of time asking for forgiveness, right? As I study what a man should be as a father, as a husband. So my goal this morning is not to beat up men, right? But sons of God, it's to empower us. We weren't called to be like other men. Right? If you belong to Christ, you surrender your life to Christ, we weren't called to be like other men. So it's time for us to stand up. A little bit about me, if you guys don't know. I am married. Me and my wife have been married for 17 years, back there. We do have a 16-year-old daughter. And because this is my 16-year-old daughter, this is my 13-year-old son. Let's see if this plays. Video's not playing, but he does. He takes it to work, all right? So that's my backup. People are saying, what are you going to do with your daughter? Why do you think my son's in boxing? You know, take care of yours. And I said it before. Look at all these men in here that I have to watch out for my daughter. So I'm not too worried about that. All right. But in all seriousness, it's my job as a father to disciple my family. Right. To teach and guide them and not just send them out into the world and hey, go find yourself. Right? Figure yourself out. This morning, I want to go back to the beginning. When I say beginning, I mean Genesis chapter 2. So if you have your Bible and you start turning to Genesis chapter 2, and I want us to see the picture of the perfect man in the perfect environment. Perfect man in perfect environment. And while you're turning there, we're going to look at three qualities for manhood. The first, men, is we were created to work. We were not created to be lazy. The second is we were created to be obedient to God's commands. And the third, we are to be obedient and dedicated to our family. So as we start in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25, you read, I'll follow along. I can't do all the talking, guys. Come on, help me out. All right, I'll read and follow along. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat it, you surely will die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird in the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called him, every living creature, that was the name. I want to stop there. We had a hard enough time naming two of our kids. Can you imagine having to name every creature? I mean, Madison has a snake named Snake, a bird named Bird, and a tortoise named Tortoise. So just to show you the mind of God, Adam before the fall. The man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the heavens and to every beast in the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman and brought her to man. And the man said, at last, this is my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. So first one on the board there. Men, we were created to work. Most people, this work idea, we see it as a bad thing. right? Like work is a curse word, another four-letter curse word. And you think about most people when you talk about their fantasies, right? One of their big ones is, man, I wish I could win the lotto and never work again. And I want you to look around what's going on. I don't know if you guys have been to restaurants lately. They're a little backed up and slow, right? And the reason is businesses, for the first time, are begging people to work. Right? It's not people begging to work. It's businesses begging people to work. The National Federation of Independent Business wrote on June 3rd, 2021, a record high of 48% of small business owners in May reported unfilled job openings. The chief economist, Bill Duncanberg, for them said, small business owners are struggling at record levels trying to get workers back into open positions. And the problem is, men, we bought into this lie that work is a bad thing, right? That work, it must be a product of the fall, right? But I want you to look back at me with me at verse 15, Genesis 2:15. And here we have the perfect man in the perfect environment. And God's word says, the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. Work is not a product of the fall. It's our attitude towards work that's the product of the fall. You look around at grown men nowadays sitting home playing video games. Grown men sitting home watching TV all day, spending more time running from work than to work. Pastor Lewis, he says it best when he says, we have become really good at doing the least amount of work in the most amount of time. Right? That's what we become. And I want you to go turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. And I want you to see what the Bible warns us about a lazy man. So Proverbs chapter 6, we'll also have it up on the board for those who don't have their Bible. Thank you, Mason. Mason making sure his dad has his Bible. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise without having any chief, officers, or rulers. She prepared her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. And I want you to stop there. And what he's saying is, look at the ant. Copy the ant. Right, the ant works hard, and nobody has to tell the ant to work hard. The diligence from the ant comes within the ant. Right? And nobody's following the ant around. Nobody's saying, do this or do that. And I want you to think, men, for a second, is that a picture of you? Are you a man who takes action, who does what he knows needs to be done? Women, is this a picture of your husband? Right? Is this a picture of your sons who take action? They know what work needs to be done, and they don't have to be babysat. Or do they constantly make excuses for work? Are they the type of person that says, nobody told me to do it, so that's why I didn't do it? Well, you knew how to be done. Why didn't you do it? Right? Do they make sure they're babysat? Keep on and look at verse 9 through 10. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Man, is this you? When you look at that, are you known as the guy who just sleeps all day? Are you known as the procrastinator? I had to say ouch on that one, right? Because I've been known to do that too. Always putting things off and you know, sometimes my wife has to remind me 37 times, right? But that's not the picture that we're supposed to be called to do. And look at the warning, he says, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Men, laziness will lead to your destruction. Right? It's my ultimate goal as a father to my son for him not to be defined as a lazy man. To use his talents and his gifts to work unto God. For my daughter, it's to find a man who doesn't see work as something to run away from, but it's something as a way for him to honor God. You guys all know Pastor Bernie. He writes a blog called My Captive Thoughts. And his last post, actually his two posts, he wrote, whatever happened to the Protestant work ethic? And he writes the following, it'll be behind me. Disciples of Christ should be bothered by lazy Christians who do shoddy work. We should know better because we have the job manual through the pages of Scripture in our hands. And while we're posing this question in this post, we should then ask, what kind of store clerk or mechanic or kitchen worker or school teacher should we be? The very best. Why? God is the best, and he made you and gave you a new birth among the best. He keeps writing, what would Luther and the pioneers of the Protestant worth ethic think of the American workers today? I hate to imagine, though, the German reformer of the 16th century did understand the meaning of work when he wrote, the maid who sweeps the kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she sings Christian hymns as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. Men, we were created to work. And not just to work, but to see our work as a way to honor God. Men, if you're here today and you follow under this category of laziness, we're going to pray in a minute. And I want you to think about this too. You could work 9 to 5, still be lazy. All right? You can go to college full time or high school still full time, get straight A's and still be lazy. So I'm not saying it's work as, I work 40 hours a week. I go to school full time. No, it's what kind of attitude do you guys have towards work? Men, how are we showing other people our work ethic? Do we see work as a way to honor God with our gifts and talents and treasure? Or do we put it off? So in a second, we're going to go to prayer, right? And I just want you guys to focus on this, and Dave will play some background. But if you know, men, that you have a tendency to be lazy, will you pray now and ask God to forgive you? Will you ask him to help you see work as a way to glorify and honor him? And women, if you're here today, I'm going to ask you to pray for men, right? That we don't fall under that title of laziness, that we would look at work as a way to honor God. So I'm going to ask you guys just to close your eyes and bow your heads. You take a minute to pray. And the first point I want you guys to pray on is that God will allow you to see work as a way to serve and honor him. While you continue to pray, I would ask that you pray for God to open your eyes to see laziness as the sin it is, and confess this sin and experience forgiveness. Father, as we continue to pray through this first point, knowing that, Father, we were called to be workers. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us, men, who have the tendency to fall under the category of laziness. Lord, allow us to see it for the sin that it is. Lord, knowing that if we're faithful to confess, you're faithful to forgive. Lord, and because of that, we get to set the example of now of what a man who honors God looks like. Father, I thank you for the women here today who are lifting up the men in the building. Their prayers remind us that we are called to be different if we belong to you, Father. And I pray that's what we are. So, Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for allowing me to study, for allowing me to see. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Second one we got. We are called to be obedient to God's commands. I want you to look back with me at verse 16, and it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of the tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the days you eat of it, you surely will die. So even here in the perfect environment, we have a command from God. Right? Commands didn't come after the fall. Here we are, perfect environment, and we have a command, and here's the problem. We're going through the Ten Commandments, men. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or nothing, but how many of you guys know the Ten Commandments? Church, women, how many of us know the Ten Commandments? And the scary reality is 90% of Christians don't know the Ten Commandments. We don't know the very basic of God's law. So then how can we, men, be obedient to God's word if we don't even know God's word? And I want to take it a step further, man. I think of my daughter. Like I said, I wrote this as a father to his daughter and to his son. My daughter, and she knows this because we talk about this. Don't bring home no man who doesn't know God's word. I'm not raising a lawless son, and I won't tolerate a lawless son in my family. Right? And she knows that. And right? So my job is to protect her from this. Right? Protect her from marriage. And I know, I told you guys she's only 16, so you might be saying, easy, easy, easy. And I know, easy. You know, but my goal is not to raise my daughter as somebody to just go out and date. My goal is to prepare her for marriage as a father. That's my goal as a father. That's my responsibility as a father. But we have this culture now that are raising kids to just go out and date. Go out and try different people, right? Date around. And Vodi Bakum says, we're teaching our kids to get involved before they even evaluate. That's the cycle that we're painting. Right? Pastor prayed about it earlier. But it's my responsibility as a father for his daughter to prepare for marriage in one day. Not to go out and date. Right? It's not my goal or not my responsibility as a father is when that boy comes over and try to intimidate him. Side note, my brother does have an airboat and we do the other grades really good. But that's not my job, right? Not to intimidate, all right? But it's to prepare her so that when those guys come, she knows I'm not even interested. I'm not even interested. It's my goal as a father to raise a son who is obedient to God's word so he can be a good husband, a good leader. And I want you to look back at me at verse 16, right? And we're going to see something important here. God gives the command to Adam. Right? And then it's his job to then communicate that to Eve. Right? So somewhere along the lines, something gets twisted. Why? Because if you jump with me from where we're at to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and I want you to see something here. The lines of communication gets lost between God giving the command to Adam and Adam then giving that command to Eve. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say to you, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That's not what God said. Somewhere along the lines, Eve added onto God's word. And we don't know exactly because scripture doesn't tell us. But maybe Satan knew. Maybe Satan knew that Adam didn't do a good job communicating God's command to Eve. And that left her more vulnerable to temptation, right? And we see, scripture tells us, sin enters the world, and that's where we get the fall, right? It's not because of Eve, it's because of Adam. Participation is encouraged, guys. Don't be scared, right? Romans 5 tells us, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam. Adam's responsible for Eve. And it was his job to communicate the word properly to his wife. It was his job to lead by obedience. And don't miss it, but he was there. He's standing there. So that's something even greater, right? But Adam doesn't get to look to God and say, God, it's the woman that you gave me. He doesn't get to look to God and say, happy wife, happy life, God. Come on now. Don't you know the saying? Right? But that's exactly what he does. He looks and says, God, it was her. And you gave me her, right? So he tries to push the blame. And men, we don't get to do that. We need to be men who are obedient to God's word. Ephesians, again, Ephesians 5:26. And I love the picture that it paints here. It says, men, it's our job to wash them in the word with the word. That's our responsibility. It's such a beautiful picture, but that doesn't stop with our wives. It continues to our kids. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Men, it's our job to disciple our kids. It's our job to disciple our families. Right? Alberto and Danielle, Pam, Paul, Kyla, they're here to help us, but it's not their responsibility to disciple our kids. Right? We can't keep passing that off to the church, to our wives. So ladies, if your man is responsible to disciple you, and he's responsible to disciple your kids, why in the world would you ever settle for a man who doesn't know the words of God? Why would you settle for a man who doesn't know the commands of God? And culture, again, says the opposite, right? And the reason why we don't expect that, and ladies, the reason why you don't expect your men to know the word of God is why? Is because we don't value the word of God. Think again about my daughter. What do people say? Oh, marry the doctor, marry the lawyer, right? Marry the ones with the money. Why? Because that's where we put our value. We put our value on money and not God's word. And that's why to my daughter, and again, she knows this, is until she meets a man who is qualified to disciple her, she has not met a man who's qualified to be her husband. And to my son, right, ladies, if my son does not know the commands of God, he is not qualified to be your husband. So again, I want to take a moment and just pray through this point too. So as David plays, men, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads to church. And men, I want you to pray that God would give you the hunger for his word. Women, would you pray for men to be hungry for God's word and not to be comfortable? That they would find comfort in the obedience to the law. Would you just take a minute now and thank God for his word? It's a word that reveals to us his character. Pray now that God will open your eyes to be the spiritual leader of your home. And if you've been slacking in this area, men, I pray that you would just ask for forgiveness now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder that us men are called to be the example, called to be obedient. Father, and because of Christ, we get to run to the perfect law, not away from it. Would you forgive us, Father, for being lazy in this area? Men who put off studying your word, who put off discipling our families. Father, as the pastor says, that we're called to be the thermostat, not the thermometer. Father, that we would set the tone. So, Father, would you open up our eyes, give us a hunger for your word, so that we can then turn around and teach it to our families and be the example. Father, thank you. In your precious name we pray, amen. Last, men, we must be dedicated to our families. Again, Genesis 2, verse 18. And I want you to look at this statement that God says here. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that he should be alone, and I will make for him fit for him a helper. And this is the first time in creation that we hear God says something's not good. Right? Think about Genesis chapter 1 leading to chapter 2. God creates, it's good. God creates, it's good. God creates, it's good. There's a pattern, right? And then he gets to men and he creates Adam and, something's not good, right? And he looks and he says, this man's not going to make it on his own, right? And from Adam, he makes for him a wife. Now, be honest, does that mean that every man is not complete unless he's married? No, right? Because scripture shows us, as we go farther in scripture, that there are certain circumstances where men are better off alone or women are better off alone. And we know that God has even given certain callings to people to be alone. But marriage is still the preferred position, right? And it's my job as a father, again, to raise my son to be a godly husband. It's my job as a father to raise a daughter to be a godly wife, right? And to do that, my son must understand what it means to be dedicated to the family. My daughter must be understand what it means to be dedicated to the family and find the man who does that. But again, society doesn't teach that, right? Society teaches us to run from marriage, right? To be scared of it. Society teaches us, you know, chase your career, chase your education, chase this, chase that, right? And then, men, then once you've done all that stuff, find a woman you can give your leftovers to. That's what society is teaching us. Right, my wife and me, Christina and me, we've been married. Well, we've actually been together since she was 20. I was 19. I was younger, yes. And when we got married, like Pastor Lewis said, I was 21 too. I was 21, right? So, and we got the questions even at 21. You know, you guys are so young. Why are you guys getting married? You know, I got the question: was she pregnant? She wasn't, by the way. But those are the questions we got asked, right? In church, like Pastor prayed, we need to be teaching our men to guard themselves with purity. And when he finds a wife, like Proverbs 18 says, he's found a good thing. And until he does, to be patient and wait. And our daughters, we need to teach them the same, to guard themselves. And when she finds a husband, she also could build a legacy with this husband. Right? And I know you guys heard it too, right? You know, I'm going to get married. You guys ever heard this? Oh, we're going to get married, you know, in the summer of 2034. What does that even mean? Right? Well, I'm going to get married, but first X, first XYZ, first this. Right? And what we're doing is starting our relationships off saying that XYZ is more important to me than you. That all this stuff is more important to me than our marriage. And what I want us to see is what God's saying here is he looks at Adam and he says it's not good for man to be alone. And because of this, I want you guys to jump down to verse 24. And I want you to see this importance, men, is it wasn't good for him to be alone. And you jump to verse 24, and he says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is so important, and I want to show you why. And again, back to the Ten Commandments. Pastor gave me $20 to keep plugging his series, The Ten Commandments. And I want you to think about this with me for a minute, all right? All right, think about the fifth commandment, right? And Pastor gave us the introduction 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at the first one, but I want you to think about the first four, right? The first four commandments are vertical, right? Our relationship with God, our relationship to God. And then the 5 through 10 are the horizontal, right? And Pastor showed us already in Exodus 20, verse 2, I am the Lord your God. And because I'm the Lord your God, the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. Second, because I'm the Lord your God, you don't get to make any idols or bow down to anything but me. The third, because I'm the Lord your God, protect my name. The fourth, because I'm the Lord your God, protect my day. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, all right? But after you get the first four, and this is why it's so important, after you get this relationship with God, we get to the second half and the fifth commandment. And I want you to think about the fifth commandment and what it says here. The fifth commandment, right after we get this vertical relationship, start the horizontal second, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long and the land of your God is given you. And here's the importance in the picture I want to show you is this command to honor your father and mother, right after he gives us this command of the vertical commands and the importance of our parents. Right? And this is a huge deal, especially when you see Genesis 2 and Ephesians 5, which we read. What he's saying is, for this reason, and what's this reason? Marriage. Marriage and only marriage. As he says, do you leave and hold fast to your wife? Leave and hold fast to your wife. And again, is everyone called to be married? No. There are very few, again. But that doesn't change the importance of us being dedicated to the family. And again, this is crucial. Like I've been saying, this is me as a father to his son, to his daughter, right? And I'm looking at this, and the obvious question for my daughter would be is, well, Dad, how do I know he's dedicated to the family? He's never been married before. Because he belongs to a family, right? And it's simple. The question is, does he honor his father and mother? Because if he doesn't honor his father and mother, I guarantee you he's not going to honor you. That's me to my daughter, and that's the truth. All right. Men, do you understand the biblical concept of family? Do you understand your role in the family? And I'll wrap this up again in prayer in a minute. But church, we need to pray that godly men will rise up We need to pray that we see men who are obedient to God's word, who work for the glory of God. So I want us to go ahead and then go back to prayer. So as the music plays, and I'll give you some things to pray about. First, for the men who are single, would you be a man who honors your father and mother? Would you be a man who holds on to your purity? To husbands, will you be a man who known to honor his wife, protect her, and provide? Fathers, would you look at your kids as a gift from God? Father, I want to start off by saying thank you for the perfect example of a husband to his bride in Christ in the church. Father, would we as men see that example of how to love and honor our wives? Father, would we be good stewards of our children, knowing that one day we have to let them go into the world, Father, and are we sending sons who are men who honor and glorify you? Are we raising daughters who honor and glorify you? Father, who are looking for spouses, for my daughter, a man who's known for his hard work, for the glory of God, not just for work, but for your glory. A man who is hungry for your word, who's dedicated to the family. Father, I thank you for a church who is helping me raise kids who are hungry for your word. Thank you for a faith family who prays for my kids, prays for me and my wife, our marriage. Father, may we see what we men are called to be and rise up to that. I love you and I praise you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. So, in the famous words of our pastor, right, what can we take from this today? I'm not a 747. I'm just a little Cessna plane, so I don't need 30 minutes to land. I'm just hit the tarmac, get out, and go, right? So I don't need 30 minutes. But first, man, again, I don't want you leaving here feeling guilt or discouraged, right? But I want you to leave here fired up, especially sons of God. If you surrender your life to Christ, would you leave here fired up and say, I was not created to be like other men. I'm not called to look like other men. I'm called to be something different. Why? So that those who we send out to go to kids' church, right, the kids who are here, that they look to men in the church and they say, that's what a man should be. That my daughter doesn't just look to me, that she looks around the room and she sees a godly example of what men are supposed to be. She sees Alberto, right, these people who are influenced and involved in her life. That my son could look up to somebody like Paul and say, that's what I need to be like. Men, I thank you. Thank you for being involved in my life, for being involved in my kids' life, to set those examples. A few things Pastor reminded me too is we can all be better dads. It just takes work. He reminded me that we also don't have to do this alone. And that's why we need to seek God daily. Be in his word. Be praying. And again, fathers, if you're here today and you say, I don't know where to start, talk to us. Talk to the leaders. Talk to the ones who are leading youth, and we'll help you, right? That's what we want to do as a church, come alongside of you. Again, I'll remind you guys too, is if you don't have a time, a place, and a Bible study, you're not going to read, right? So unless you say, at 5:00 in the morning, on this chair, I'm going to read this Bible study plan, right? Not just open the Bible and find a spot, but I'm going to follow this plan, you're not going to do it. And if you miss one of those three, you're not going to do it. So men, we need to be dedicated to this. We need to be dedicated to spending time in prayer with our family. And I need to apologize for that because I don't do a good job of that. I don't do a good job about reading with my kids. And again, these are things that I had to sit down with God and confess and pray to switch. The pastor reminded me that successful parenting begins with a relationship with Jesus, right? If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it starts there, right? And I would ask you is today, if you're struggling and you say, I don't know, don't leave here without talking to somebody. Pastor also reminded me that it's our job to be determined to lead our families, right? And again, he writes, successful parenting not only begins with Christ, but relies on Christ. So with that, church, I thank you. I love you. And let's pray. Father, it's good to be part of a faith family. Father, and I'm so thankful that you brought me to this church and to these people, these brothers and sisters. Lord, and I pray for the men here today. Father, that we would see this day as something big, that we get to say, yes, I will rise up. Being a son of God, I represent you, and I thank you for the adoption into your family through Christ Jesus. Lord, and because of that, I get to represent you. Lord, I get to enjoy working for your honor and glory. I get to enjoy your word and teaching it and being obedient to it, Father, and I get to enjoy the family that you provided for me. So, Father, let me not forget that, and let me not take that for granted. And for my brothers here today, that they will leave here excited to say that they get to represent you, Father, because of what you've done on the cross. Father, for the women here today, I would ask that you put in their hearts that they continue to pray for their husbands, continue to pray for their brothers and sisters. They need someone to pray for. Pray for me. Pray for my son. Lord, that he would see the example of what it means to be a godly man. That my daughter would see the example through the women, not only her mom, but through the women of the church, of what it means to be a godly woman. Give her a hunger to find a husband who represents you. Give my son the hunger to find a wife who represents you. Father, I love you. I praise you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.